Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This month is February. It is known as Love Month. Today, we will start a new series. It's called the Love Series. We will start with episode 1. Mind you, this is better than Netflix. Episode 1 is about what is true love. Love is, love does. What does it mean? This new series is so important because love is a universal longing. We all long for love. The truth is, God wants you to experience what true love is. But many times, young people today, including old people, are looking for love in the wrong place. And friends, beware of counterfeit love. God's desire is for you to experience what true love is. Once you experience true love, your life will never be the same. And my prayer is that all of us will come to know what is true love from God's perspective. Remember, God invented love, not Hollywood. Remember, the Bible tells us God is love. And because He is love, He wants you to experience love. Let me ask you, what is love to you? If you cannot even define what love is, how are we going to really love one another? We all long for love. What is love? Do you realize the definition of the world, the secular world, is something like this? A feeling of deep affection or fondness for someone, typically arising from a recognition of attractive qualities. The focus is emotions, a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties, attraction based on sexual desires. That's why you have people saying, "I fell in love." To fall in love is the greatest thing. Is that true love? Or is that counterfeit? When I use the word true love, it implies there is such a thing as counterfeit love. What do we mean by counterfeit? Counterfeit are imitations. I discovered today that counterfeit medicines is one of the number one killer among children today. 250,000 children die every year due to counterfeit medicines, counterfeit vaccines. Why? Because it is cheaper. But do you realize many of us are guilty of something that's counterfeit? The danger of counterfeit, it is costly. I'm reminded of the story of somebody from New Zealand. He did not like seatbelt. So what he decided to do, he came up with a counterfeit seatbelt over his shoulder. Why did he do that? Because he has been caught by the police driving 32 times without seatbelt. Lo and behold, one day on July 22, he had a car accident. He flew through the windshield. In the process, he died. When they went over what really happened, they noticed he had a seatbelt that is counterfeit. There were many other genuine seatbelts in the car, but he did not use it. He used a counterfeit seatbelt. Why? He didn't realize counterfeit can be costly. True love comes from God. This is the most amazing discovery you'll ever have. Let me explain to you. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 9, the Bible tells us what true love is. In John chapter 4, verse 7, 9, up to 11, you have the word love occurring 11 times. There are different words for love in the Bible. Unlike English, there's only one word for love, or Tagalog, pagmahal, pagsinta. But in English, it is so narrow, love. But in the Greek, you have different words for love. And the word used is not eros, erotic love. It is not phileo, brotherly love. It is not storge, love of parents to children, but it is agape, meaning it is an unconditional commitment. It is a sacrificial love. It is the kind of love that's giving. And that was made popular by the early Christians, taught by Jesus. Beloved, let us love. That word is agape. Let us love one another. Notice, love one another. Who is this one another? You and me, imperfect people. Love is from God. So right there and there, true love is from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. What is the Bible saying? Because God is love, His very nature is love. However, it does not mean love is God. No, God is love. His very nature. When the Bible says God is holy, how do you combine the two? God's love is holy. He loves somebody with a holy love. God is righteous. He loves somebody with a righteous love. So when the Bible talks about God's love, I want you to put in your mind, it is the kind of love that is sacrificial. It's kind of love that's giving. And I'm going to explain that in a short while, the meaning of God's love. By this, the love of God was revealed in us. Notice, God's love is revealed. We need to learn this. That God has sent His only Son into the world so that we may live through Him. God's love is giving. The best description of God's love is giving. For God so loved the world, He gave. God's love is not selfish. It is known through Jesus. So you'll notice the next verse. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He is now making a distinction between human love and God's love. He is saying, this is love, not that we love God, not our kind of love, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'm going to explain what it means, propitiation. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So how are we to love one another? If God so loved us, how did God love us? So let us learn today how God loved us so we can learn to love others the way God loved us. True love, therefore, has the following components I like to highlight. Number one, God's love is unconditional commitment. Number two, it is directed towards imperfect people, like you, like me. Number three, it is to seek their highest good. Number four, oftentimes it requires sacrifice. And lastly, it brings honor to God when we love people like the way He loves us. Do you know the hardest people to love oftentimes are people you are close to? Because you know them. But God is saying true love is an unconditional commitment, meaning it is a choice, it is a decision. In Deuteronomy 7, the Bible tells us God's love is an unconditional commitment. The Lord did not make you His beloved, nor choose you because you were greater in number than any of the people, since you were the fewest of peoples, but because the Lord loved you. What this verse is saying is God chose Israel, not because they were deserving. In fact, He said, you were the fewest in number. But He said, I chose you. Why? Because I love you. That is the meaning of unconditional commitment. You know, it's one thing to love somebody because you don't know them very well. And that is the problem today when it comes to social media, when people fall in love through the internet. You don't get really to know each other. I am not saying that it is wrong to meet people in the internet. What I'm saying is get to know the people you meet in the internet or wherever it is before jumping to any decision. While there are success stories when it comes to love in the internet, there is also a lot of regrets in this kind of relationship because you don't really get to know them. You don't get to know how they interact with family members. You don't see them interacting with other people. That's why my advice is always, what is true love? True love is a commitment. But before you make that commitment, get to know the person. God's love is different. It's with complete knowledge. And He still loves you. He still loves me. For example, in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Bible says, the Lord appeared to him long ago, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you out with kindness. What is everlasting love? God is saying, even before you were created, I know all about you and I love you. And I will continue to love you till the end of time. Because God is infinite. He knows everything about us. And yet, He chose to love you, to love me. That's the meaning of unconditional commitment. In John 13, verse 1, Jesus was telling His disciples final instructions. And this is what the Bible tells us about Jesus. On the last dinner, before Jesus would be crucified, this is what happened. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, meaning He's about to depart from this world, having loved His own who were in the world, notice how did He love His own? He loved them to the end. John 13 verse 1 tells us Jesus loved them to the very end. Who is this them? You have Peter who denied Jesus. Jesus loved him. You would have Thomas. Thomas would run away and doubt Jesus. Jesus loved Thomas. We have John, James, all the other apostles. He loved them in spite of. My friend, if you can understand, love is an unconditional commitment. Even though God knows everything about you, everything about me, He still loves you. 47 years ago, when my wife and I got married, I told my wife, honey, I love you. I will always love you. There's nothing you can do that will make me not love you. Such is the love of God, unconditional commitment. But you know what? This kind of love is not natural. This kind of love is supernatural. In Romans chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, the Bible tells us, hope does not disappoint because the love of God, notice the love of God, not the love for God. It is God's love. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Bible tells us God's love has been poured out in our hearts. This is supernatural. It is given to us by God through the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for poured out has been poured out. It's a picture of a river that's overflowing. My goodness, we are able to love because God's love is poured out in our hearts. That's why I want you to consider the reality. Have you experienced this kind of love? This love comes from God. The Bible tells us the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. Do you notice something? The emphasis, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the evidence of the fullness of the Spirit in your heart. If you don't have love, if you don't have joy, if you don't have peace, if you don't have patience, if you don't have kindness, are you living the Christian life in your own power. You see, the Christian life is not hard. It is supernatural. The Christian life is not difficult. It is impossible. We need a transformed heart. We need God's love, God's Spirit in us to pour out His love in and through us. Remember, we are not the source of true love. We are the distributor of true love. This kind of love is supernatural. And that's why you can never say, I cannot love you anymore. You are correct. If you say, I cannot, but God can. Therefore, be careful with your words. Because theologically speaking, if you have Christ, then you are able to love unconditional commitment. Remember, do not let emotions be the master of your love. The will should be the master of your love. Don't become enslaved to feelings. Feeling will come, feeling will go. Honestly, there are times when I don't feel like loving my wife. Why? Because I'm selfish by nature. When I'm hurt, I feel like withdrawing. But I praise God because of God's amazing love and God's power, the Holy Spirit. My wife continues to love me, even I know when I'm not lovable at times. And by the grace of God, I continue to love my wife. And what's so miraculous is my love for my wife keeps growing every year. I told my wife, it's unimaginable. I love you 47 years ago with my whole heart. And now I love you even more. How can I explain that? God's love. You see, the enemy of true love oftentimes is feeling. I got permission from Dr. Philip Lin to clarify what he said when he quoted Andrew Weber. When he said, look within your heart. What Philip Lin meant was, when you are going to trust God, look within your heart. Who God is, focus upon Him, trust Him. Not with your mind. Because sometimes to put your faith in God and see what God can do, the miracles God can do, is beyond our human logic. But the heart tells you, believe in God's power. Believe in God's faithfulness. So that's what he meant. He did not mean follow the feelings of your heart all the time. Why? Because feelings, according to the Bible, the heart is deceitful above all things. So you have to be careful. Love is not always following the heart, because the heart can really be deceitful. In fact, Andrew Weber, the man who wrote that song, Follow Your Heart, was remarried 3 times. That's a problem. You follow your heart, sometimes your heart can deceive you. That kind of love is not lasting. True love is a commitment towards imperfect people. What is imperfect people? The truth is this. None of us are perfect. To love perfect people is easy. But we are commanded to love one another. Who is this one another? Imperfect people. Do you now understand why sometimes the hardest people to love are your family members? Because you live with them. You know them. You see their warts. You see their defects. And you react. My friend, however, you need to know, God commands us, love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is your family members. Your neighbor are your church members, your office mates. These are the people we know. And God is saying, love is directed towards imperfect people. You know, I'm reminded of the story of Kathy. Kathy was a Christian leader, but she got fed up with her husband. And one day, she went to her counselor. And the Christian counselor told her, no, you cannot leave your husband. You made a vow, you made a promise. In good times, in bad times, till death do us part. You made a commitment to love your husband. And that commitment involves you honor your husband. So I want you to practice honoring your husband. You know what? Did her husband become better? Not really. A few weeks later, her husband became worse. Unreasonable. In fact, somebody was telling Kathy, just leave your husband. But Kathy said, no. I'm going to use the love of Jesus to love my husband. And she began to practice. Love is a commitment, unconditional commitment towards imperfect people. Well, one day, as Kathy was preparing to go to a retreat, her husband asked her, what are you doing? She said, I'm packing. I'm going to a retreat tomorrow. Her husband said, no, no, you are not going. She could have reacted. You know why? She's one of the organizers of the retreat. That night, they had a dinner with a famous Christian leader. And Kathy asked that leader, should I go to the retreat? Should I not? And the Christian leader told her, Kathy, your priority is God. Pursue God. Number two, your family. Number three, your ministry. You stay home. Kathy was so disappointed. She went home. She told her husband, I'm not going. But you must remember, she said this with tears. She saw her plane ticket. She saw everything. A few months later, there was a conference. And Kathy and her husband were invited by their friends. In that conference, it's about husband and wife relationship. Guess what happened at the end of the conference? The speaker said, if any of you would like to share what God has done in your life, please stand up. A lot of men were standing. And what shocked Kathy was her husband stood up. Her husband went forward, fell in line, and began to speak. And her husband said, my wife, Kathy, 1 Peter chapter 3 me, and brought me to the kingdom. What did the husband mean by 1 Peter chapter 3? Remember, love is, love does. 1 Peter chapter 3. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any one of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. In the case of Kathy, love is a commitment to honor, be submissive to somebody who is not perfect, her husband. A couple of weeks later, her husband told Kathy, I'm attending a men's conference. And in that men's conference, the husband called Kathy at home. And the husband said, Kathy, do you remember a few months ago, I told you not to attend the retreat? Will you forgive me? I've been selfish. I was not considerate. Wow, what an amazing transformation. Such is the power of true love. Love is, love does what God wants us to do. So love is a commitment towards imperfect people to seek their highest good. What do you mean by highest good? I always tell people, love is not sentimentalism. Love is, love does. Love is an action to seek their highest good. I always tell my children, disappointment is good for the soul. Why? Because if you love somebody, you don't want to spoil them. It goes beyond sentimentalism. Whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Notice whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. He scourges every son whom He accepts. Scourges. That's the word used to describe how Jesus was afflicted with pain. I'm sharing this with you because many times you fail to understand when you are going through hard times, when you're having problems, it is not because God does not love you. I like you to learn to comprehend the amazing love of God. It's beyond understanding. But it includes discipline many times. I'd like you to hear the testimony of this girl.
I grew up in a Christian home. My father and my mother were, and are up to now, very much involved in various church ministries in our hometown and in different provinces in the Philippines. Seeing their devotion in serving God and the church, I also served actively in various church ministries. However, despite my ministry involvements, I viewed God merely as a ticket to heaven and to get the nice things in life. As a teenager, I deeply longed for attention. I felt like a shadow that nobody took notice of. At 15 years old, I became close to a much older girl who seemed to be very interested in me. Having someone to talk to over the phone till the wee hours of the morning, who seemed to enjoy texting with me every minute of the day, filled and fueled my desire to be wanted and valued. It did not take very long for that friendship to turn into a full-on relationship, even though it broke my family's heart. In 2006, I was diagnosed with stage 2 Hodgkin's lymphoma, a type of cancer that affects the immune system. So I had to stop my schooling and go through the painful process of chemotherapy. I couldn't understand why, of all the lesbian friends that I had at that time, I didn't understand why God would capriciously choose me to be the one to be punished. So I broke up with my girlfriend, no, unwillingly. But little by little, the idea of God punishing me brewed into a silent resentment in my heart. After a year, I was declared cancer-free. So I resumed my church duties, graduated with honors in college, and got a scholarship to France to pursue graduate studies. Actually, I even became a testimony of God's healing and faithfulness to different churches. But in reality, to me, God remained a restrictive killjoy who would only bless me if I remained straight and if I kept my longings at bay. So the loneliness, insecurities, and desire to be loved, as well as the intensifying feelings of repression of my sexuality, coupled with the idea that God doesn't care about me or care about my personal struggles, slowly but surely led me to give in to the desires of my flesh. So I started drinking, smoking, going to lesbian bars and wild parties in strip clubs, and dating different women on several occasions. So I went back to the Philippines after my scholarship, fully embracing my identity as a lesbian. I left my broken-hearted family and lived with my new girlfriend at the time. The wild lifestyle continued and worsened as the years went by. The drinking became heavier and more frequent. Smoking cigarettes turned to smoking marijuana. And the all-night parties in bars and lesbian clubs went on. My girlfriend also started becoming more and more abusive and even started cheating on me with different women until she finally left me for another woman. The life that I thought would give me happiness emptied me of everything. So I decided to go back to my family and to turn back to God, who seemed to be the only chance I had at that time to find any glimmer of hope out of my hopeless situation. I started attending Glorious Hope in 2019 with the intention of finding solace and comfort from my breakup. But I instead ended up finding healing in every aspect of my life. I realized that my journey towards self-destruction was rooted on my distorted image of God. Ultimately, I am inflicted with a heart issue of not knowing God for who He truly is, and that what I was struggling from was at its root not gender identity, but the heart problem of not finding love and value from the ultimate love giver. God, my living hope, the lover of my soul, found me. He fills me with a measure of love that is so encompassing and that is so unfathomable. It is by his overflowing love that the former pleasures of life no longer seem to measure up. In Ezekiel 36:26, God said that he will give the Israelites, the rebellious Israelites, a new heart and a new mind. And as he pours out his love to me, I just inevitably find myself walking in newness of life, renewed and restored. My name is Margaret Faith Cao, and to God be the glory.
You will notice in her testimony, she talks about what she went through. Why? Love is, love does. God's love is a commitment towards imperfect people to seek their highest good. And the highest good for this girl is God allowing her to go through her fear of death, cancer, recovery. But above all, because God loves her, she was transformed. Are you having problems today? May I suggest, place your confidence in God's love so you can learn to love others. Have you received His love? The Bible tells us God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you notice? It's action word, love is, love does. God demonstrates His love for us. While we were still sinners, He died for us. Notice, 1 John chapter 4. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. Action. To be the propitiation for our sins. What is propitiation? Propitiation has the idea of payment, full payment, a covering for our sins. The Bible tells us Jesus died on the cross for the full payment, propitiation, full satisfactory payment for our sins. If God so loved us this way, we also ought to love one another. That means there are times when you need to sacrifice because Jesus sacrificed for you and for me. Love is not a concept. It is not an idea. It's more than a feeling. It is action. And many times, the true test of love, can I suggest, is action. What are you doing to show your love? I'm reminded of the story of a couple who wanted to have a better future for their children. There was a time when California opened up because of the gold rush. So this man went there. He told his wife, "I'll come back for you and our son." Amazingly, he made it. He struck gold in the gold mines. And he sent money for his wife and his son to leave New York City and go to San Francisco. On their way, they took a boat. There was a fire. The boat captain knew that fire was dangerous. It's going to explode. Why? Underneath the boat were gunpowder to be used for miners. So he told everybody, evacuate the boat. But there was a problem, not enough lifeboats. So when it came to the mother and the boy, there was no room. She begged for a lifeboat to take them. They could not. They said, "All right, only one more." The mother was in a dilemma. What will she do? Guess what she did? She got the boy and gave the boy to those people who were on the boat. She did not save herself because love is sacrificial. Then she told her boy, after hugging him, she said, "If ever you live to see your daddy, tell your daddy, I died for you." You see, love is sacrificial. It can be painful. I'm reminded of a CCFer. He gave me permission to share his story. You see, he caught his wife being unfaithful. The wife caused him emotional pain. He came to see me at night, almost 12 o'clock midnight. He said, "What shall I do?" I told him, "What should you do?" He said, "I learned from the Bible that I'm to love my wife. I must do what's best for her." So I said, "What will you do?" He said, I will not leave my wife. I will court her." And you know what? My wife and I saw how this man began courting the wife again. He invited the wife to a retreat. And I knew the pain. Because in that retreat, I saw both of them. And I saw the hardness of the wife. But you know what? Amazing thing about God's love. The source is from God. Love is and love does. Love is from God. And love is an unconditional commitment towards somebody imperfect to seek their highest good, which oftentimes sacrifice. The sacrifice I'm talking about many times is not even death, inconvenience, pain. I have good news for you. This couple, if you look at them today, their marriage is restored, they hold hands, and their families are intact. Their children are together. Why? True love is different from Hollywood love. Secular love is temporal. It will not survive the test of time. True love will result in bringing glory to God. This is so important. Because at the end of the day, it is not about us. It's about God's agenda. It's about Jesus. You must remember, don't be man-centered. Be God-centered. Look at John 13, 34, 35. "A new commandment I give to you, you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Do you notice? A new commandment. Love is a choice. Love is a decision. A new commandment I give you. It's volitional. What is this new? New commandment. The new commandment does not mean love one another. Because that commandment was given even in the Old Testament. What is new? How we love one another. The freshness of this love. This love is the love of Jesus. That is what is new. "Even as I have loved you, you love one another." This is unconditional love. To seek their highest good, which oftentimes will require sacrifice. That's how Jesus loved us, and that's how we are to love one another. And notice the promise, the result. "By this all men," notice, "all men will know you are my disciples." People will know that you are a follower of Jesus. On what condition? If you have love for one another. This is very heavy in my heart. Why? Because I've seen many Christians, they don't exemplify love. Friends, that is not how we are to behave. We are to love one another as Christ loved us. Notice, "all men will know you are my disciples." That's how we witness for Jesus. Some people would like to think that the greatest evidence of intimacy with God is power. For some people, the greatest evidence of God's presence is your success in your ministry. For some people, the greatest evidence of God's love for you is your emotional feelings, how passionate you are. Can I tell you something? The greatest evidence of God's presence in your life is love. Are you growing in your love for God, for one another? That is the bottom line of the Christian life. It's all about love. And that's why next week, I want to share with you part 2, episode 2 of what true love is. I will give you practical suggestions how to love difficult people. Francis Schaeffer said, "Love is the final apologetic. It is the defense for which there is no defense." The Bible tells us we love because He first loved us. Brothers and sisters, you cannot love like this if you have not experienced the love of God. The power of our witness because of the love of Christ is something that you need to understand. I don't know how many of you are aware of the CBS news interview of an ISIS trigger man who became a follower of Jesus. This is his story. This man was trained to kill and shoot Christians. He was taught that to be a Muslim, you must kill the infidels. And that's what he was trained to do. But his life was also threatened. So he was asked to leave Baghdad. And he went to Turkey. When he went to Turkey, he became a spy. He was going to do the same in Turkey, to hunt down Christians. So he attended an evangelical church. He got a shock of his life. When he attended the Christian gathering, they welcomed him. They hugged him. And they began praying for him. And the message was about the love of God. You know what happened to him? As they prayed for him, he experienced the love of God's people, the love of God. And he said he could not explain this. But he began to weep. He began to cry. And my friends, Jesus tells us, by this all men will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Do you know that the early Christians were known because they loved each other? Tertullian wrote 100 years after the gospel was spread all over. He said, the pagans described Christians as how they love one another. The Christians were noted for their actions because love is, love does. What kind of behavior? They do not engage in adultery or sexual immorality. They do not bear false witness. Neither do they covet that which belongs to others. They honor father and their mother. That's the meaning of love. You do something. They comfort those who injure them. They are eager to do good to their enemies. Notice they are eager to do good to their enemies. They don't neglect the widow nor oppress the orphans. Such is how they are known. The badge of the early Christians is love. Can you imagine? If followers of Jesus, if all CCFers will learn what Jesus is saying, by this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. If we learn to practice love at home, in the office, in our environment, what will happen? People will come to know Jesus. Can I tell you something? Your small group will expand. It will grow. There's no way you can stop people from coming if you and I will learn what Jesus has been talking about. What is very sad for me is I've seen many so-called Christians. They don't love one another. We should be known for our love for each other. However, if you check with the world today, if you check with people who don't know the Lord, what do they think of Christians? They think of Christians as judgmental. They think of Christians as critical. They think of Christians as divisive. They think of Christians as very unloving, self-righteous. As somebody once said, the Christians are the only army in the world that they shoot their own soldiers. We seem to be excited when other Christians fall into sin. We don't grieve. We don't feel sad. We attack each other. Look at your own life. Do we really love difficult people? Can we learn to love people who disagree with us? Can we learn to have a meaningful conversation among families, with your children? If your children don't agree with you, can you have meaningful conversation? And that is something that has been lost because we have forgotten the importance of how to love. Love is so crucial, especially today. People are looking for love. And God wants you to be the conduit. God wants us to be the distributor of His supernatural love. I pray that your life, your family, and your workplace will experience the overflowing love of God. And my prayer is for CCF to be known for love. And my prayer is for the whole world to realize Christians are known for love. Have you experienced the love of God? I always enjoyed this song. These are the lyrics of the song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky.
Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, reach out forevermore, endure the saints and angels.
This song tells us that the love of God is beyond our comprehension. But can I tell you something? Once you experience this love, you will never be the same. Is it possible that you are not able to love your loved ones? It is because you have not experienced God's love. Is it possible you grew up with a Christian background, cultural Christianity, but you never had a real encounter with the love of God? You see, in my case, I was headed in the wrong direction. And then one day, I encountered Jesus. I experienced His forgiveness. When I understood His forgiveness, His love for me, my life took a new direction. And that new direction is all about Him loving me and I'm responding in love. My prayer is this. You may have been going to church. You have been attending church for many years. But God's love is lacking. You're not able to love. You know what is right, but you're not able to express this love. The greatest enemy of love is selfishness. Self-centered. I want to give you an opportunity today to have a new beginning, new episode in your life by encountering the love of God. Friends, God is real, and you will know His love through Jesus. And that's your desire. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it is my desire to experience your true love. I admit to you, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve your love. But today, I come before you knowing that your love is unfathomable, unconditional, but it is true. You love us. You died on the cross for our sins. I now accept this love, Lord Jesus. I accept you into my heart. Forgive my sins. Give me this love that you have for me. And let me learn to love others as you love me. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If this message has been meaningful to you and you are blessed, kindly click on the space provided below. In a short while, we will have discussion questions. And after that, there will be fast track. Stay tuned. And don't forget, next week, I'm going to go on episode 2. How do you love difficult people? See you. Here are some suggested questions that I'd like you to discuss with your family, with your D group members. Why is it important to know what is true love? Number 2, why is it important to also demonstrate true love? Number 3, how can you grow in your love for God and for others? And lastly, what does it mean to say that we are distributor of God's love and not the source of God's love? I hope you will have a good time discussing these questions and grow in the area of love. The greatest need of the church today is to grow in love.
Good day, CCF family, and welcome to Sunday Fast Track. I'm Mel Santos, and here with me is Pastor Peter, and we have a brand new series for you, Love Is and Love Does. You know, Pastor Peter, this topic is really very popular. And a lot of young people who spend about 10 hours or more every day on social media are asking this question. What's your advice to the young at heart seduced by selfish love romantically portrayed in entertainment today?
The reality is, truth has somehow got to be shared with young people. But young people are looking for experience, they're looking for that good feelings. Mm. So the way to help young people, there's no shortcut. Develop relationship with them. Model to them what true love is. Because without you doing that, to lecture them will not work. Mm. Because young people have a different mindset. But they're looking for models. Mm. They want the real thing. So if you can build relationship, model what true love is, and begin to share with them, I believe, slowly but surely, you can share with them what is true love versus counterfeit love. Mm.
Thank you, Pastor Peter. So what you're saying is winning their heart has to be something that we should be willing to do.
Right.
Okay. The next question, Pastor Peter, is how can we lead people who are addicted to counterfeit love of the world that oftentimes lead to disappointment and then lead them back to the genuine love of Christ? And this is happening even in Christian marriages when they feel that they've fallen out of love with their spouse and they don't have the same feeling anymore. How do we help them?
You mentioned the word addicted. Mm. Once you're addicted, you don't think straight anymore. We've been sharing this with people about the frontal lobe and the lymphic node.
Limbic system.
The limbic system, as Jess McDowell just shared. Once you're addicted, the frontal lobe is no longer really in operation. You don't think straight. Mm. And many people today who are addicted are not able to think straight. And that's why I said there's no shortcut to discipleship. Discipleship involves what? You need to have relationship and you need to model because they're watching us. Mm. Many times young people are disappointed. They're disappointed with leaders. So it is important that you be authentic. Let them know you care. Remember that saying, people don't care what you know until they know you care for them.
That's true.
So my approach to young people is always develop relationship, spend time with them, no shortcut. That's why it's good to expose them to a group of other young people. Mm. Because other young people can influence others, but they need good role models.
Thank you, Pastor Peter. So intentionality in modeling, being authentic, and being consistent is it's a huge challenge today, you know, because so many distractions. And that, I think, leads us to the last question for our Fast Track edition. What's a good habit to keep us growing in loving difficult people, especially when the difficult person is a family member? What practical steps can we do to seek the highest good for people that don't like us very much?
You mentioned the word, what habit? I will give you more advice next week, but just for this week, begin to practice, watch your tongue. Mm-hmm. When you are with your loved ones, remember, don't react. Learn to respond properly. Nothing is worse than reacting. Because they are not behaving the way you like them to behave. If you react, you turn them away. To love difficult people, you need to learn the habit of controlling your tongue. What words come out. And do something that will show you love them, you care for them. Nothing beats action. Love is and love does. Not just talk. Talking is cheap. Action. What kind of action will you do?
So, Pastor Peter, you're saying speaking, we have to be intentional, we have to be careful. And then service.
Do something. Serve them. Yeah. Let them see the real you. Wow. And you'll be amazed what God's going to do.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Peter. Love is really very practical, right?
Yep.
It's very practical. And so, I'm sorry, but that's all the time we have for now. But this and the message, we can access through our CCF webpage, our mobile app, YouTube channel, and our CCF Facebook page.
And the episodes will be coming. Episode 2, Episode 3, Episode 4, Episode 5. It's all about love. It's a love series. So I pray all of you will not miss this love series. Why? Find out more next week.
And please don't forget to share this with your family members and friends wherever they are in the world. God bless you, and let's keep on growing in love.
Thanks for watching. We would like to invite you to be a Christ-committed follower by being part of the movement as we honor God and obey His great commission. To find out if there's a CCF satellite near you, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/satellites. We also want to encourage you to join a small discipleship group where you can deepen your knowledge and love for Jesus and others. To sign up, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/discipleshipgroup. All of CCF's video resources are available free of charge and are constantly being improved by our team. Would you consider supporting CCF through prayer and giving so more people can be blessed? You can give securely through our website at www.ccf.org.ph/give. For more videos like this, please subscribe to our channel. Thanks, and God bless.